I counted before, and I'm now in Japan already for 8 years, and I live in Osaka, but before I lived in Yokohama, and that's the new station of station building of Osaka. And cities usually, if you have been to Japan, look pretty much like this. So huge and lots of lights, and I think Tokyo is even bigger, but you have very high buildings. This is currently the highest building in Japan, just opened a few months ago, and it's almost 300 meter. So it's the highest office building. There's a higher tower. And there's a new developed district in front of Osaka Station, which is called Grand Front Osaka. And it's a real vertical city, like you have parks in the seventh floor or eighth floor. And I currently work there in some shared office space. And on the bottom is shopping area, and at the top is office area. And when you look into details, it's very, very, so it's really, really huge. And I really recommend you to travel once to Japan, because that's a really good experience, also good mapping experience. But when I arrived, the map looked like this. And that was Tokyo, and it was about 2007. And I don't know, I just had a GPS then, and some other people also started. And we thought we will never finish that. And I just want to say, this is not the reason why I went to Japan, but it's... that there's no misunderstanding. But we started with our first mapping party in Kamakura, and we divided it by four, and there were 10 people, and also IKEA was there. It was very, very small community. But I started then mapping with my scooter, and I was driving around the roads, which are confusing and not straight, so it's not something you just connect nodes. You really have to go along these streets. No map box, aerial photos, and from my balcony it looked like this. And when you mapped it, it looked like this. So the style is, this is just a screenshot from yesterday, and it still looks like this, and that's not so good to promote to people and say, wow, this is OpenStreetMap. So it's just too thick, and the styling doesn't match so well. So you have very narrow streets. That's where I live now, in Osaka. And you have also traditional streets. Sometimes they're just enough for a small car. What you often see that there are no sidewalks. A lot of other stuff, but no sidewalks. And you have vertical cities. So this is not where you have a good connection with your GPS device. And you also have a problem to see this road from an aerial photo. So mapping this is a real challenge. And that's, somebody did that, so I think that was the right crossing. If you do it wrong, then routing won't work. And then you have things like this here. There was no space for the highway link, so they built it through the building. And if you look from a little bit more far away, there are also train lines beneath. What you usually don't see is street names. So everybody who visits me asks which street you live, and I say, yeah. There's no street name. Just in Kyoto you have street names. Instead you have district maps, like here, and some are almost like made by hand, and they even write the owner or currently living person's name on the map. Sometimes parts of the address you can see on poles. I think it took me 6 years to understand that there's actually a part of the address. It's the blue sign. And so I want to show you how a Japanese address looks like. So in Europe, you usually have street addresses, and there are some schemas. I didn't know before. I looked up Wikipedia, European scheme, clockwise distance scheme. But what if you have no street name? So you have a collection of streets, and you divide it into blocks. Could be, doesn't need to be like this. And then in this smallest block, you just number the houses. And there's no rule how to number the houses. Some are clockwise, some are just by the time they were built. And sometimes they're very friendly and they put these maps. That's probably some area that was built at the same time, all houses. And so the development company put up a map. And usually the order is the opposite to what we are used to. So the Japanese addressing system is based on areas and subdivided from big to small. So the largest entity is, there are four possibilities. And there's Tokyo, that's one possibility. And there's a second one that is Hokkaido, which is the second one. And then a few big cities are named metropolis. And then all the rest is prefecture. And because you write Japanese without spaces, you can only distinguish what is the prefecture by looking for these key characters, to or do or something. And then prefectures are divided into counties or cities. And then you have the cities, and they are divided into areas, neighborhoods named cho. And then if you have very big cities, you have not only cho, you have the larger ones, which are called wards or ku. And then the blocks are numbered, and at the lowest level are the buildings. And if you have large buildings, apartment houses, they often get a name, very funny names sometimes. Mine is Chardemand Izumi. I don't know, is it French, or I couldn't find out. And then the writing is also difficult. There are different ways to write. The left is the Japanese characters. The middle one would be translated to Roman characters. And the right one would be how my parents write me a letter. That's not my address, so I don't get this letter if you write me. But the nice thing is that postmen in Japan are very kind, and however you write it, it will arrive somehow. So there are several ways, but usually you write the name at the end. And a big problem for me is usually to sign up for conferences. So because I have to make it work that later it looks correct. So I don't have a street name, and city works, state works, but sometimes it's easy to do and sometimes it's more difficult. There was a website called openaddresses.org. And it was not possible to put in a Japanese address there. And for tagging, that's the nice thing in OpenStreetMap, is very flexible. But if you tag correctly in Japanese, you have to, for every name, you tend to make four tags. One is the English one for all foreigners traveling to Japan. First you have the normal name tag, and then you have an English one, because we hope that we can produce an English map for English speakers. And then you have the Japanese name, and then you have the romanization of the Japanese name, and then you can still write the pronunciation in like different alphabet called kana, that is like an alphabet. So tagging is not so fun, especially for me. And probably there should be developed some tools to make this more automatically. But that's not all. So even this sounds already like an exception. There's even an exception in Japan, which is Kyoto. And I searched a bit about other addressing systems. I don't know well about South Korea or Taiwan, but I think some of you have been in Venice, and in Venice are also the houses numbered, I think, just in the order they were built. And in Kyoto, there's a very interesting kind of address. The traditional address of Kyoto is describing the way how you get to that address. So they say, from the second crossing, go the next crossing right, and then up. So they have different ways, so east and west and north, And they always describe the way to get somewhere. And I don't want to explain too much in detail because it would take too much time, but a friend of mine, he made a geocoder for that address system, and he has a website with some explanation on geodos.com. And that's kind of it's a nice way to make addresses, but of course it's not good for the Japanese Post. So they're trying to formalize this. So here's an example, the tower of some tower of Kyoto, and on the top would be the official address, and the second one is the traditional address. And the interesting thing is the people use the traditional, still like the traditional address. So even government or whoever wants to standardize this, both exist, and it's, I don't know in if anybody adds traditional Kyoto addresses in OpenStreetMap, but there are always exceptions. So what I learned when I moved to Japan was some things I took as granted. I never thought it's wrong, or it could be different somewhere else, is for sure somewhere different. And the address is a good example, and already to define what highway, what is a highway, it's very difficult to translate this to a local language. But there are also things that just don't fit in the, if you make an editor like Josen, if it wouldn't be so flexible, you couldn't put in a Japanese address. So I really encourage everyone, if you, it's not so expensive as you think, but if you come to Japan, or if you have a question about Japan, just write to this email address and say hello. There are not so many visitors, so I think somebody will respond. And I know that Tim was in Japan, and they made a mapping party for him, so I think you will be welcome. Okay.
Thank you very much. Questions?
If I understand correctly, the Kyoto addressing scheme isn't even unique per location?
It's unique in Japan, yeah.
No, I mean, one place can have different addresses depending on which highway crossing you use to start your description? That's how
they have some rules, so they have some roads they start with, and then they say go north or south. But I don't know exactly it's unique or not. But maybe the website would explain it. It's also in English. Yeah. So I don't know the details about the system. So, but I think there are some similar addressing systems. I heard.
It's just a comment. Yes, I can confirm that I'm living in Central America, and we all have, in all countries, streets. It's just reference point based, and yeah, it doesn't have to be unique.
So my question would be, is there a constant you see in for cartography in Japan? So you have roads, they must be connected, okay? So is that the linking concept behind open street mapping in Japan? And address is just a very hard complication. So what forms a community, and how far is the community in mapping Japan?
How far? I think there's a language barrier. So the first is you will not have many people reading the international lists. So there must be somebody looking at it and translate content. But I think in Japan they're very well equipped with GPS devices and technology. So probably more GPS devices than mappers usually on a mapping party. And I think that language is a problem to actually, if you say you would like to make to make a meeting of people from different areas or yeah, the communication is probably the most difficult part.
Mm-hmm. But they are incredibly far in navigation, development of navigation systems, traffic information, though that is a leading country, isn't it? So there must be a lot of knowledge and technology. You said it already, but the state of the map, how is it now? Would you say it's...
There was large data import, so a lot of data was imported. Usually people tend to, so they like, it's a, like I think Germans also have OpenStreetMap, it's a popular hobby. Mm-hmm. But it's quite a lot of work. So
not yet completed. So no, not on that stage
far,
we see
far
in Europe.
Away, yeah.
My question is the following: what is the primary application of OpenStreetMap in Japan? Because, for example, in Russia, navigation software is very popular, and OpenStreetMap is widely used for car navigation. What about Japan?
I think it's hobby level still. So there are many alternatives, and of course, when you do a smartphone contract, you have all these applications already installed. They are free, and free to use. And at the moment, there's a big difference between metropolis and countryside. So in countryside, OpenStreetMap is at some areas already better. And then other map makers, but in the city, even you map a lot, it's really a lot of information on a very dense place. And then when you see the default map styling, it doesn't. It's too big lines, for example, and it's really hard to make a nice style or rendering. And for the end user who sees the map. That's the most important part.
Who was the first?
Did you try to make your own style for dense cities like you showed
to
us?
I think the osm.jp site, they have they cache some tiles, but then on some zoom levels they have their own styles, partially. Yeah. Okay. But still it's a problem to how you show like actually 3D cities on 2D. There's a lot of information.
Sure. Well, how would you give driving instructions if there's no street name?
There's one thing that junctions have names, for example. That's one thing. Junctions can have a name and are mapped sometimes, but I think landmark-based navigation is very common, and when I drive a car and have a navigation system, you usually get like 200 meters and then right. Big names have numbers, for example, or even a name.
We still have a little bit of time because we then get reassembled with the other group, so I will not start before 3. So one more question from my side. You lived now for how many years in Japan?
8 years.
8 years. Is there a culture difference in the approach to such a thing like OpenStreetMap from seeing it as a community? Is social life so different? And is that an another strong influence on how such a thing like OpenStreetMap can grow and how it's found its place in society? What is your observation and how do you think about that from this philosophical and cultural aspect?
Yeah, I don't know so well Germany because I cannot compare, so I don't know. I think that the community is doing very well, so they do a lot of mapping parties, there's an OpenStreetMap Foundation in Japan established, mm-hmm. and they do a lot of publicity. Maybe the need is not so high, like compared to Russia, maybe. So the pressure to have your own data. I mean, more than 100 million people live in Japan, so 500 mappers, active mappers, is not so
No.
not so big. But there's a lot of data, actually. I think that the download of OpenStreetMap Japan is very big. It's not so accurate, probably, still.
Is there a license issue if you collect data from elsewhere? Is it a strict license regime by legislation, Japanese?
No, government actually gives a lot of data for import. So the quality is, it's better than nothing. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect.
Yeah. Okay. There's one more question. Then we have to close. Okay, no question. Okay. Just so thank you again, Daniel, and you're on.